Albert, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm the director of the Open Spaces Coalition. We fight suburban sprawl.
What's suburban sprawl?
Why don't you ask Stephen? They could use a little suburban sprawl in Sudan.
Excuse me, Dad?
Industry, houses, jobs, restaurants, medicine.
You can preserve a lot of open spaces and have jobs for people with
development. I beg your pardon, Albert. I wasn't finished.
Sorry, sir.
Clothes, videos, toys, cheeseburgers, cars, a functioning economy.
You can still have a functioning economy and preserve open spaces with a little planning.
Yeah.
Socialism. Complete disaster.
Theodore Roosevelt was a socialist, and William Butler Yeats, Elizabeth Bishop, Henry David Thoreau, Robinson Jeffers, the National Geographic Society, suppose they're all socialists.
You're talking about socialism.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about not covering every square inch of populated America with houses and strip malls until you can't even remember what happens when you stand in a meadow at dusk.
What happens in the meadow at dusk?
Nothing.
Everything.
Nothing.
Everything.
Nothing.
Everything. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
You are now listening to Cinema Presto Fiso.
There we go. I accidentally turned off. I supposed to hit the button, but I turned it off instead. I don't know why I did that. Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode 122 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, just hanging out, doing my thing. On a Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers listening. Your mothers. Happy Mother's Day to all you. Because without the mothers, there would be none of us.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
I mean, same could be said for the fathers.
Though. Same could be said for the fathers. It's kind of a... But Father's Day isn't as... Not as big a deal. Harder to shop for the fathers. What do you get them? A tie? You get them a thing to put their pencils in on their desk? Because, you know, you go to, like, TJ Maxx and they have that shelf of, like, office...
Oh, yeah.
Office toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst kind of stuff. That's what the dads get stuck with.
I couldn't tell you, Chris. I've never worked in an office.
Congratulations. You work in office. It's just, what's your version of an office?
My version of an office is a kitchen.
There you
go. That is not an office.
It's involving knives and fire. It's pretty close.
Knives, fire, people
metaphorical knives, fire, real knives. No, well, the people screaming and yelling is the same no matter where you
real
go.
Real knives and fire.
That's my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going, dude?
They call me Knives and Fire.
They call this guy Knives and Fire. They call me Fire Knives.
Now, you see, that just sounds gay.
No, see, Fire Knives, that's the old Western, but it's a steampunk Western, so it's like, it's set in the past, but also in the future.
The future past.
It's set in the future past.
Like Tomorrowland.
So, what's his name? Fire Knives? Fire Knives.
Fire Knives,
Fire Knives is a bounty hunter. Think Clint Eastwood.
With knives made of fire, because it's a movie or a comic book, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So when he breaks out his knife, it's a normal-looking knife, but then he hits a button at the bottom or
whatever.
I can
fillet a fish and cook it all at the same time.
Wouldn't that be amazing? And it's nice. It's like, here's some ahi tuna. Yeah. So Fire Knives is a bounty hunter, but also a skilled sushi man, right?
So.
And he roams around the desert, Old West.
I have a comic book for you to read.
Is fire knives already taken, Drew?
Kind of.
No.
A little bit.
No, how can fire knives be taken?
It's not really the Old West, but you're talking...
We just came up with it now.
But you're talking, and not even a bounty hunter, but that Anthony Bourdain comic, Jiro. Get Jiro. It's about a homicidal sushi chef.
Homicidal sushi? Does he have fire knives, fire katanas?
No, but he does have a katana at the end.
That's seen now.
And he hacks up a bunch of people in a field of wheat. It's very... It's very Asian.
Okay, that is pretty Asian. No, our Fire Knives is going to be... Well, you know what? I mean, Westerns were based on the samurai movies anyway.
Exactly.
So it is
kind of a Western.
So in I Am Fire Knives, who's going to play Fire Knives? Guy Pearce, right? He's the man. Guy Pearce has less than 10 lines the whole movie, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't speak. Yes. He does a lot of that.
So, okay.
Okay. Gotcha. And he seems like normal dude, right? I mean, normal bounty hunter type guy. Yeah. He comes into town and everyone's like, oh shit, it's this guy, right? And then, but then when he sees the bounty he's looking for, instead of like pulling out his gun, he pulls out like a couple of big old like Bowie knives or whatever. And then like during the whole fight thing, like the other guy, like they pull out guns that are all like crazy steampunk future guns with like gears and stuff on them, right?
Shooting lasers and stuff.
Yeah. Some ridiculous like old timey technology to make future technology.
Yes.
And then he pulls out his knives and he's like, battling away the lasers. And then when he gets up to them, like he does whatever, and his knives become fire knives. Like, they're on fire, and like he's stabbing people with fire knives. And then what it does is it cauterizes the wound, so it's nice and clean. It's like a lightsaber.
Okay.
Right. Nice. And so that way you still get the PG-13, make the money.
Okay.
Okay.
There's no blood.
There's no blood, right? Because he cauterizes everything. And and then that leads to a whole, like, he has to take down the governor because the governor's crooked, and he's like paying off the sheriffs and the marshals.
So is he like
Daredevil? He's trying to get the land.
Is that what's going on here? Is he taking down Wilson Fisk?
He's your basic vigilanteism. Yeah. Lone Ranger.
Okay.
You know, absolutely.
Sweet.
Except not in masks. He doesn't care about masks. Because he is who he is. He's not trying to hide who he is. He is Fire Knives.
Or maybe he is the man with no face. He doesn't need to wear a mask because he has no face.
No, he fights against the man with no face. That's who the villain is. I like that. I like the man with no face.
Man with no face.
But not the Mel Gibson man. No, that's man with half a face.
Yeah. No, I'm talking like like Madonna in Dick Tracy type shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Literally, no face.
What was his name? His name was like...
No face.
No face? There's no face.
No face.
I was thinking, was it blank face?
No, but it's no face.
It's no face. Breathless Mahoney. Prune face.
Yeah.
There was a meatball head.
Yeah.
There was short stacks. That was Al Pacino. And, of course, Dick Tracy.
Warren Beatty.
Old Richard.
We finally got our Dick Tracy watches however many years later.
They're still not as cool looking.
I know.
Still not nowhere near as cool.
Nope.
Well, I Am Fire Knives is coming to a theater near you.
Bill, start storyboarding that now.
Start storyboarding. Thanks. Don't tell me to do that because I don't actually do it. And poor guy, I put so much work into it.
That's why I said it.
Maybe a cool Fire Knives portrait of some sort that we can share with all the listeners at Cinema Crespity. So on the Instagram, Cinema Crespity. So check us out. Or on Facebook, Cinema Crespity. So I was going to do a short first half because there's a lot to do in the second half. Mm-hmm. But we already spent like 5 minutes talking about Fire Knives. And then I wanted to bring this up too. So I don't think it's going to be a short first half. It is Mother's Day.
Fire knives.
It is Mother's Day. So obviously what I would suggest to do tonight when you download this episode, you're like, oh shit, what are we going to do tonight? Sit down with the mom and watch a movie. Got some suggestions.
For Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day movies. And if you think of any along the way, Drew, go ahead. Maybe these will bring some to mind for you. Aliens.
Okay.
Aliens, right? The Queen.
Yeah.
Psycho is a good one for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Martin Scorsese, it's like the second or third movie with Ellen Burstyn.
Okay.
About a single mom and her horrible choices. Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, she's a mommy.
Yeah. Raising Arizona.
Okay.
Wanted to be a mom. Yeah. Rosemary's Baby.
Ooh.
What happens when you do become a mom, right? Friday the 13th, the very first one, the original one. That's very specifically mom heavy.
Okay.
Code 46 is a fun one for Mother's Day.
Chris.
Children of Men. Great Mother's Day movie. Children of Men.
Yeah.
And finally, Junior. You can watch Junior if you want for your Mother's Day. So there you go. Any come to mind, Drew? Those are all the good ones.
Yeah. No, I mean, that Code 46 one kind of threw me for a loop, and then I had to think about it. And yeah, I mean, Happy Mother's Day, right?
Happy Mother's Day.
Or you can watch Predestination.
That's a good one. We'll talk about that movie in the second half of the show. That's actually, very good. Very
Happy
good, Drew.
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, guys, and Father's Day. Father's Day is next month. We'll come back around to Father's Day in June. So there you go, guys. Celebrate your moms.
Man, those are some kind of messed up movies, Chris.
Well, certain people respond to certain things. So it is time to start the show.
Don't throw mama
reals.
From the train.
Don't throw mama from the train. There you go, Drew. There you go. That is a good one. Damn, good job. Don't know how I missed that one. That's why I keep you around.
Yes.
Time to do what we always do, the way we always start the show, is with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. So let's, I'm hitting the wrong buttons there. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. All right, here we go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is going to be found at chriscrespo.com. It says right there on the side, on the top, just says Netflix Picks. You can pick on that. There's actually two links there. There's all the picks we've been doing on this show. 2 years worth of picks there now.
And what and else then, is on there, Chris?
And then the 2 years worth of picks from when I was on SBK Live.
So that's on a separate thing. 4 years of picks.
Yes. So some of those movies ain't going to be on there. Some of them still are. Pretty crazy what still isn't, what still isn't. So you can always go back and check out to see if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix. Because we're talking about thousands and thousands of titles, and most of them are garbage. How do you know what to watch, Drew? You come to us.
Well, first off, you watch this goddamn movie.
Oh, Drew seems to approve of this week's pick is Drew Cogburn approved. Hashtag Drew Cogburn approved.
Yes, it is. You rated it 3 stars.
Okay, so it's probably more of a 3.5 situation because they don't offer that 0.5 star.
I would definitely give it a solid 4.
Drew goes definitely. Solid 4. Okay. 3 stars.
It's from 2014.
So it's last year. God
but man. I guess it's more of a 2015 movie because okay. That's when we got access to it.
Okay.
But it was made in 2014.
Narrowing it down. Very recent film.
Hour 40 minutes long.
It's a short one. I think I know where it is, but I'll let you keep going.
And it's not rated.
Which means it's either indie or foreign on the old Netflix. NR or UR? NR, not rated?
Yes.
As opposed to unrated?
Yes. NR.
Okay. Give me one thing. One more thing. What's a genre?
This movie is, I'll give you 3 words. Scary, understated, ominous.
That's what you're reading right there?
That's what I'm reading off the Netflix.
I gotta think it's gotta be A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
You are correct, sir.
Very, very recent. That's a lot to write down. A Girl Walks
Home Alone.
That I know what the rest of the title is there. Yeah. We just talked about this movie a couple weeks ago. Crazy. Sometimes that happens. There's been movies in that randomizer that have been there for years that haven't been picked. And then this one was just thrown in a few weeks ago, and it's coming right up. That means people, you need to sit down and watch it because it's
No, you do. People good. Do. I actually want to rewatch it.
And this is actually more of like a 3.5 star for sure.
I'd give it a solid 4.
You would go solid 4?
Yeah.
I tried. For me, 4 is like, even though 5 is supposed to be the best of the best, I usually use 4 for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 is like, all right, you know, pretty good. So then there's the middle. I rate very few things 5 stars. Like Ernest Goes to Camp, solid 5 stars. So, I mean, crazy movie, black and white film, very indie, very cool, music, you know, a lot of fun, about a vampire lady in a fictional town in Iran.
Bad city.
Even though the whole thing was apparently shot in Bakersfield, California, but still takes place. It's like a desert type setting, right? Bad city, yeah. And she's like, a vampire who preys on the people who walk the streets at night in Bad City. If you can imagine what type of people those are,
yeah,
which are not so savory types.
And she also tries to steer children in the right path as well.
She does
by scaring the living shit out of
them. She scares them onto the right path, hopefully. Yes, and then also maybe she wants to give that whole relationship thing a try again because you know,
let's fall in love. Why not?
I'm pretty sure she's only been a vampire since like the 80s.
Yeah, probably
based on her tastes
in music.
You know, yeah, and all that stuff. So it's not like she's been a vampire for centuries and centuries, but still, you know what I mean? It's a cool movie.
Really is.
Very cool movie. First movie from this girl who made it, Anna Lily Amirpour.
Correct.
Right? Her first film, and she's already got another one underway called like The Bad Bitch or something, and it's got a crazy looking cast already. Like she's using the clout from this movie because it made a big splash at all the festivals to actually get like a bigger, cooler, not cooler, but a bigger movie made. And you know, looks like we got another awesome young filmmaker.
Yeah.
To look out for.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing what she does next. So A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. That is good stuff.
Yes it is.
Good stuff.
Mr. Cogburn approved.
All right, let's check out that that box office recap for the weekend. Drew, let's talk about some of them new movies that came out money wise.
Talk about them figures. Number.
No, I can't see. It's carried a 1 plus 2.
25 this week? 25. It made a whopping $131,000.
Maggie. Even on only being on 79 screens, that is not a lot of money. And you would think a zombie movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger would get a little more play, but I mean, there's been no marketing behind it.
I mean, it's a zombie drama.
It's a zombie drama, so it's not a typical zombie movie at all. There's nothing typical about it because it's a, you know, in all the zombie movies or in Walking Dead or whatever, there's always that moment where someone that they know gets bit.
And then they and blow then their brains out.
Yeah, and then there's a couple minutes of like,
oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
This is horrible, where we're so sad this is going to happen. And then they have to like either they wait for them to turn or to kill them beforehand. Yeah. But it's always like just a small part of the story. Maggie is apparently the whole, that's the whole story. Yeah. Someone gets sick. The daughter gets sick, and then dad's like, what am I going to do? I'm just a Midwestern American farmer.
I have to save my daughter.
I have to save my daughter. She's dying in my arms.
She's not dying. She's undying, I guess.
No, she's got to die first to then undie.
To undie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's dying. I do want to say, just because it is Schwarzenegger doing a dramatic thing, he doesn't do that very often, you know? And part of the reason why it really didn't get much play in theaters, like, it's only playing 7 theaters across the country. It's only playing in one theater here in town. And it's playing at the Universal AMC. So it's like, if you go there during the day, not only you got to pay the $16 ticket to go see the movie, you got to pay $16 just to park in the parking lot.
Yes.
You know, good times.
Oh, yeah.
I love Universal. We'll actually talk about Universal a little bit in the second half.
Sweet.
But that sucks, though.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, they're in the business of making money. I understand. So I like to see Maggie. It is on like on demand and stuff, which is why it's not playing at more theaters, like more Regals and things like that, because they don't like showing movies in theaters that are also on demand normally. So we'll get around. So it's going to be like a Redbox type thing, you know, for $1.50. So there you go. I just wanted to talk about that real quick. And then how about this? What is this? 12, 13, 14, 15, number 17.
Number 17 is the D Train, Chris.
Yes.
Made $469,000, same as the total.
See, now that's even worse, because on 1,009 screens, that means per average screen total was $465 per movie. Take that into account for the number one movie of the week, which per screen was making an average of $18,000.
Yeah.
And this one was only making $465.
Correct, $465.
The D Train with James Marsden and Jack Black. Apparently, this is a movie where if you want to watch these guys have sex... There you go.
What?
Yeah, that apparently happens in this movie. I didn't get a chance to see it. It is playing at Winter Park. But it's... No, at Winter Park? It is about... So Jack Black's a dude who... He's trying to get the high school reunion going. So he's going to California to meet up with, like, the most popular dude from the class to, like, convince him to help. And apparently at some point they have sex.
Sweet...
I haven't seen it.
I mean...
That's part... Obviously, then, I think that's the reason why it's not getting any... No commercials or anything. It's not... You know, it's all like that Jim Carrey movie. With Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I Love You, Philip Morris.
Okay, yeah. You said something weird happens in that one, too.
Well, they just... they become cellmates in prison, and they become lovers. So it's not necessarily weird. It's just that it's a movie featuring Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey simulating, like, some hardcore sex... So obviously they're not going to want to market that too heavily, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just be seen as, you know, Hollywood pushing their liberalism on the rest of America, which is so ironic considering how not liberal Hollywood actually is. We'll talk about a little bit of that in the second half of the show too. But the D Train, not making no money, might get around to it on the... There's that Jack Black TV show coming out on the HBO. The one where he's like a political type dude, right? It takes place in politics.
World
of politics.
Kind of. I guess he's like he's some sort of intelligence officer, but not like a real one. He's not a real spy, but he works for the FBI.
He like works for the agency, right?
He just happens to be somewhere where something is happening, and it's his job now to tell Tim Robbins, who's the president, that things are going awful. Even though it doesn't look like Tim Robbins gives a fuck.
Looks like it's going to be interesting. I wonder if they're going to have sex at any point. All right, let's get into the top five. What do you got over there?
Number five this week, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 made $5.1 million, total of 58 on a budget of 30.
So it's making its money. It's making its money. Already out for 4 weeks. It's a Paul Blart. What are you getting? I mean, what are you expecting? Right?
Right.
Right. So, all right. Moving on.
Number four this week. Furious 7, an additional $5.2 million, total of $338.4 on a budget of $190.
Just hanging in there, Furious 7, the number four highest grossing film of all time. Probably going to drop to number five in a couple weeks here, but still, God, I am Furious 7. Furious 8 coming 2017. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Coming in at number three this week.
All right.
The Age of Adeline. Yeah. Had a weekend gross of $5.6 million, total of $31.5 million.
And it can't have had that high of a budget, 15, maybe 20 million.
Yeah. I mean, Blake Lively's cheap.
Yeah. And so it'll make its money eventually. No one's hurt on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's a.
Yeah. Some of that reverse, well, not reverse Benjamin Button, but Lady Stays Hot for the Rest of Her Life.
Oh,
shucks.
Poor lady.
Yeah. And apparently it's awful. Doesn't make any sense. Number two this week, Hot Pursuit. Weekend gross of $13.3 million on a budget of, same as total on a budget of 35.
And it's just, it's a comedy. I kind of wanted to see it because it's, I think it was a comedy. It's been when was the last time I saw a comedy in the theater? Let alone even a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I like Reese Witherspoon enough. Sophia Vergara is Sophia Vergara. She's, she does her thing. She's she's a modern Chichi Rodriguez, right? Yeah. There's always a generation of someone
basically,
doing that.
She's just a very attractive middle-aged lady.
Middle-aged Spanish lady. Don't forget the Spanish part's very, that's what's setting her apart from all the other ladies out there.
Yeah.
And so she's running with it. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. More power to her. But then the reviews started coming in for this movie, and oh boy.
We're
talking Paul Blart levels of bad feedback on this one.
Well, I mean, Paul Blart is still in the top five this week, so.
Well, out of 106 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes that they pulled together, six of them are positive, mm-hmm. which makes for a 6% Rotten score.
Yep.
Apparently, the movie is shrill and unfunny. It bungles what should have been an easy opportunity to showcase Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara's likable, odd couple chemistry. Apparently, it's the only thing the movie has going for it, that these two actually have really good chemistry together. Maybe they'll find another movie that they can work on that will showcase that better.
Yeah.
A sort of female Farley Spade type of deal.
Could be.
We're going to murder that cat pretty soon.
And coming in at number one this week, Chris, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Cat murder.
It made an additional $77 million this week for a total domestic of $312.5 on a budget of $250.
Now, the estimate last week came in at $187. Later on Monday is when they released the actual numbers, and it actually made $191, even closer to that $200 mark. So, but still, top three opening weekend movies of all time are all Marvel movies.
Yes.
All of them featuring Iron Man.
Yes.
So, Robert Downey Jr.
Bank.
Owns the world. And it didn't make $100 million in its second week. I thought it was going to go $200 first weekend, $100 second weekend, like a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
$190 first weekend, almost $80 second weekend. We're talking, this is like the number three second weekend of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So don't cry for them, Argentina. They're making tons of loot. Maybe not as much as the first time around domestically, but internationally could pick up that slack.
Yeah.
And they could still end up passing the first Marvel Avengers box office wise worldwide. Let me just see what we're looking at here. Where did it go? Can you click on it and see what it's at worldwide with the international total on top of? Is it at 800 million worldwide yet? I want to take a guess. Second week, it would be close to 800, which would be incredible.
I got no answer for you, bro.
You got nothing?
I got.
You got a white screen?
Box Office Mojo is apparently down.
Yeah, I got the white screen too. Okay, well, you know what, guys? You know how much you made? A lot.
Too much money.
Way so much money. It's insane.
Man, I'm really glad we didn't do that earlier because now I can't even bring the weekend chart back up.
No, that's fine because we that was the number one movie.
Yes, it was.
Avengers doing pretty good. Good for them. You can check out our spoiler bonus episode that we just put out a few days ago where we talk about the movie in depth and detail, all the deets, and we talk about how it fits into the whole Marvel pantheon, and also check out our episode from the week before for our spoiler-free review, and let me talk to Big Mike about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was good times, episode 121. Okay, new movies coming out on DVD. We have Still Alice, that movie that Julianne Moore won the Best Actress Award for at the Oscars, one where she has a person who just gets Alzheimer's. Mordecai, that unfortunate Johnny Depp, Gwyneth Paltrow, Paul Bettany vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposedly a comedy. There was no evidence of it when I saw the film, but there you go. And then finally, Black Hat. Michael Mann's Black Hat with Thor.
Black Hat hacker called Hathaway.
There's a Black Hat hacker called Hathaway. And, you know, like, I thought it was eh. There were definitely parts about it that were cool, very Michael Mann-ish. But I was also like, yeah, it's kind of boring, not that good. A lot of people, a lot of critics, a lot of film type people that I see online, I actually like the movie quite a bit. And it makes me want to like go back and rewatch it just to see like, did I miss something, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I missed something that I need to go back and reevaluate. It is Michael Mann.
Yeah.
Michael Mann's always worth watching. Yeah. I've been wanting to go back to watch Miami Vice forever now. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really hold up.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it forever. I want to watch it. It's Michael Mann. The only thing I remember is that one scene where all the guys pull up in the car, and then the car gets shot the shit up, and then there's a camera viewpoint from inside the car, and it's just like, and the fucking bodies are flopping around. It was super hardcore.
Yeah.
Then I remember in Black Hat, there's a scene where, like, right when you don't expect it, a dude gets fucking hit with a goddamn rocket. And he gets in his car, and then someone hits him with a rocket launcher, and it's like, boosh. And it was fucking crazy. He always does things like that. They're like, man, Michael Mann is a fun director sometimes. So I'm going to go back and check that out. What's coming out in theaters this week, Drew?
In theaters this weekend, we've got... man, there's a bunch of weird movies coming out. A whole bunch of small movies. Like The Film Critic, Where Hope Grows, some Elijah Wood movie.
Mm-hmm.
Set Fire to the Stars.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what any of that's all about.
Something about the connection with Jean Dujardin.
The French Connection?
No, just The Connection. No, but okay. It is about French people.
So it's the French, The Connection.
Yeah. There's an Ethan Hawke movie that comes out.
Another Ethan Hawke movie.
Good Kill.
I wonder if that one gets crazy weird.
I don't know. Maybe. Some weird thing. I'll See You in My Dreams. Never really heard of it.
I'll See You in My Dreams. I did see Chris Rock in my dream the other night. That's pretty weird.
Yeah. There's a tiny little sequel come out, Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, that's going to bank.
Did you ever see the first one?
I did not, but others have you seen it?
I did. It was good.
People like it.
It was funny.
Everyone likes it.
Yeah, it was.
Elizabeth,
it was what it was.
Elizabeth Banks actually directed the second one.
Nice.
Her directorial feature. So, you know, good for her. That's very cool. I guess I still got to see the first one if I'm ever going to see the second one.
Yeah, you should.
I guess I'll get around to it one day. I'll watch it. It's got that Anna Kendrick. She's tiny.
And very attractive.
Teeny tiny.
And then there's this tiny little movie that nobody cares about, Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max Dos Colon. Why did I say Mad Max 2?
I don't know.
Actually, the second movie is the only one that's called Mad Max. So it's Road Warrior, Mad Max, and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And then this one's Mad Max Fury Road. Coming out after this one's Mad Max Furiosa, apparently. Apparently, Charlize Theron is really the main character of the movie.
Sweet.
And it's a... shit, we're going to be talking about a lot of Mad Max in the future. We don't got to get too into it now, but very excited for it. I'm sure you are, too. I'm sure everyone is.
Billy
D is.
This is, like, the movie I'm looking forward to this summer.
For some reason, they already had press screenings, and they've been embargoed.
Yeah.
Right? And, but... It's the secret. The word is getting out. The secret is out, Drew.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I know.
So, I don't know what they're waiting for.
I see the previews, and it's nothing but explosions mm-hmm. and crazy cars,
yeah.
And Charlize Theron has a metal hand.
She's got a robot arm.
Lots of despair.
And that bad guy with the crazy mask with the teeth on it and crazy face.
It looks like some sort of, like, a cult of a steering wheel.
Yeah, they worship the steering wheel.
It's like it's gonna be. This movie's gonna be fucking nuts.
George Miller already said.
I'm really looking forward to it.
He said it's gonna be a 2-hour car chase.
I like it.
I'm down with that. Yeah, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that one. And hey, if you see Mad Max this weekend before, like, so if you see Friday or Saturday, you see it ahead of time, email us at cinemacrespobriso@gmail.com. Give us your review and we'll read it on the show. Just, you know, avoid spoilers and be cool. All right, so Mad Max coming out this weekend.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
That's the movie for the weekend.
Yeah, and probably, like you said, probably the one I'm looking forward to the most this summer.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy how that happens. You know, it's especially when you're a fan of movies, right?
like in the way that I am, and you look forward to, you hear about projects when they're announced like 2 years ahead of time, and then like they just start shooting, like, oh man, it's tantalizing, I can't wait for it to come out. And then they start giving you all the marketing 6-7 months ahead of time. You're like, oh, it's so far away, it's so long, it'll never get here. It's all anticipation.
And then all of a sudden it's here.
And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in the theater and it's over. And you're like, man, I waited 2 years for that hour and 45 minutes.
And it was awesome.
How do I feel about it? Was it awesome? Was it worth it? Sometimes it's you get a once upon a time in Mexico situation where I'm walking out of the theater trying to convince myself that I liked it. And then I get home and I'm like, oh, God.
No, you just can't.
It's just what a piece of shit that movie is. That movie disappointed me so much. All right, so here we go. Let's take a quick break, and then we got the second half of the show. And I do mean a quick break. I'm only going to do one song. That Lost River movie, the Ryan Gosling movie, the whole soundtrack is up on Spotify. It's like 30-something tracks.
Oh, nice.
Including a new song from Desire.
Oh, sweet.
Which is pretty cool. But that's not the one I'm playing here.
I'm going to have to... because that's, I gotta go. I gotta
check it out. Right now. Save it on your Spotify.
What's the Lost River soundtrack.
The movie?
Yeah, what's the name of the soundtrack?
Lost River. Lost River. It's credited mostly to Johnny Jewel, who's the guy behind Chromatics. Mm-hmm. But then some of the songs are Chromatic songs. Some of them are Johnny Jewel tracks. And then some other groups in there, like Last Candy is in there and stuff like that. It's very cool. Off of that, I'm playing like the main theme of the movie is a song called Yes. There's three versions of it. I'm going to play one of them for you right now. You guys enjoyed that. We'll be back with the second half of the show of Cinema Crespedista. We'll be right back.
Previously on Cinema Crespo Diso.
Tarantino, Herzog, or Cohen?
If one of those three filmmakers started a cult, which one would join?
The cult of Tarantino, the cult of Herzog, or the cult of Cohen?
Okay.
What are you joining, Chris?
I'm telling you, I could never join the cult of Herzog.
Oh, you'd kill yourself within a week.
He would if he doesn't kill you first. Or with crazy assignments.
Or if you don't go out into the wilderness and get destroyed by nature.
Oh, yeah, he'll just tell you to go battle nature, and then you'll die when a bear eats you. And then he's Herzog. He's like, oh, that's the way it is. Nature will always win. This is my religion.
ChrisCrespo.com.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome back to the second half of. I'm sorry, that's the wrong way. I was supposed to say that one. My fingers, man.
You're all thumbs.
I need to drink more.
You're all thumbs, Mr. Crespo.
Got the shakes. Gotta settle down a bit. Welcome back to the second half. I haven't done that in a while. Welcome to the second half of episode.
Welcome back to the second half.
So we left it, but now we're back. It's 1:22. I'm chilling with Drewster Cogburn. Drew.
Welcome back to the second half, Chris.
Welcome back to the second half, Drew. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for welcoming. Box Office Mojo's back up, so I wanted to go ahead and point out that Avengers Age of Ultron, after 2 weeks worldwide, is at $874 million. So there you go. Just wanted to let everyone know that Disney is winning. Congratulations, Disney.
You win. And they're going to win even more when Star Wars comes out.
Oh, man. Double win.
And then when the rest of the Marvel movies come out.
Which we're going to talk about. We'll be talking about those. A lot of Marvel movie news.
And all the rest of the Star Wars movies.
And all the rest of the yearly Star Wars movies. TV shows and the merchandise.
And all that Pixar stuff.
Can't wait for my Death Star-shaped SpaghettiOs.
All the remakes of the classic animated movies is live action.
So much. They're winning. They're the winners. They've won.
they won, Chris. They won. It's over. They have won.
We secede. All will to Disney. Plugs, email the show at cinemacrespediso. If you see a movie, any movie, old or new, email to us your review, and we'll read it. We have a few that we're going to do today. If you have any other questions or topics you want to hear us talk about, again, email us, cinemacrespediso @gmail.com is the easiest way. You can tweet us at Crespediso or write to us on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso. Tweet me. I am Chris Crespo. And tweet Drew at...
@Hero419.
All right. There was
same spot all over the interwebs.
The trailer, the D-Train trailer just popped up. Now it's a commercial for Reese's Pieces.
Now we know why they call it the D-Train.
Yeah, now we do. Riding that D-Train. Not talking about the letter D.
Ooh.
Talking about
in terms of the D.
Above D's nuts. More D's. A lot of D's.
Lots of D's
going on. Rate us and review us on iTunes, please. That helps us a lot. If you like what you hear and you want to help us out, go to the iTunes, rate us 5 stars, write a nice little review saying why you like the show. Because when you do that, then it tells the iTunes algorithm thing to put us on their what's hot section or the noteworthy section.
We're so hot, Chris.
It only knows that we're hot if people review what we do, if people tell iTunes that they're into it. And then when that happens, the little logo pops up, you know, on more places on iTunes, and people will be more likely to click on it and check it out, hence exposing us to a bigger audience of people who don't understand or get what we do.
I mean, all they got to do is stare at that little logo of your face and be like, oh, look, he looks so happy.
Well, it's an enticing logo, I think. It's bright and colorful. It's got nice colors. It's a big smiling face. It's like, come on, welcome into the show, guys.
Hey.
And if that's how you checked out the show and you're still with us, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Help us grow, and we'll keep bringing you that awesome entertainments. The entertainments are coming to you. Also, if you have the TuneIn app, do you have the TuneIn app, Drew? I got it recently.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah.
Got it for the thing, yeah. If you got a TuneIn app, go ahead and do a search for SBK Live Radio Network. They are just playing best of SBK Live shows all day long. And then every now and then, I guess every Thursday, every Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting now, even though it didn't happen last week. They're supposed to be live. They're going to be live at 7 o'clock. And we'll be tapping into that feed in the future, doing some live shows. And you'll be able to hear like some Crespity So best of stuff on that channel. So SBK Live Radio Network, search it out, save it. There's two of them. There's SBK Live and then SBK Live Radio Network. You want the Radio Network. So I mean, like them both, but we're not on the TuneIn, but maybe we should be. Well, we're going to be on through the SBK Live Radio Network. I think I said enough times now that people know.
Sure, no, yeah,
okay. If they haven't tuned us out completely, we're just in the background while they're like changing a baby's diaper. Happy Mother's Day, or they're outside mowing the lawn. Happy Father's Day if you listen to this a month late. Drink a little bit more beer here.
Yeah, you need to.
So let's get some of these reviews out of the way. We already teased that we're going to review a couple of things. Let's review that interesting Ethan Hawke movie we just saw called Predestination. You want to get us started? How spoilery do we want to be? I don't think we want to be that spoilery.
I mean, it's...
It's hard to describe, though.
It's a quote-unquote time travel movie.
Oh, it's definitely... There's definitely time travel.
But...
There's a lot of time travel.
So here's the thing, Chris.
Temporal agents.
It's a time travel movie, and there's a lot of weird shit going on in the movie.
A lot of... It gets weird.
But it doesn't get weird until like the hour mark. Like in the beginning, you're like,
it's all because it's all
like,
set up.
Here's Ethan Hawke, and he does some stuff and gets a new face, and he's right. Ethan Hawke now.
He's Ethan Hawke.
And then
he goes, he does one time jump into a bar in the 70s, and then he spent like 40 minutes in there listening to someone tell a random story.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the shit hits the fan,
and then it gets
and things get really fucking weird and crazy, and I picked up on some of the stuff early,
yeah,
and I knew it was coming, so like when they had the reveal it was kind of weird,
yeah,
but some of the other stuff I didn't see it coming, but I guess it might not make a lot of sense. There's a lot of stuff to work through.
Yeah, it's got its own internal logic thing going on that you just kind of have to go with it like they do with most time travel stories. I think it's meant to point out time travel paradoxes, that type of thing. Apparently, it's based on a short story by Mr. Robert Heinlein? How do you say his name? The guy who wrote Stranger in a Strange Land?
Sure.
And he wrote this short story in the 50s. And outside of the whole thing about the fizzle bomber, it's pretty much the same thing. So they added the fizzle bomber stuff. I guess so, even more of a dangerous hook.
Yeah, dangerous hook, and, you know, because
he's looking for
stuff.
He's looking for the bomber. Yeah. But all the other stuff, Jane the John and all that stuff, that's all in the short story. The 50s.
The Jane the John, the baby.
The whole thing with Ethan. And the whole thing with the temporal agents and the agency and all that stuff, which is like makes think a time cop.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's all from this short. Old short story, which is considered one of the progenitors of modern time travel storytelling.
I mean, I kind of want to talk about the movie, but I don't. It's so crazy that I don't want to give anything away.
Because that's the thing. When we sat down to watch it, neither of us knew much about it. I just
didn't know anything.
Ethan Hawke.
You said Ethan Hawke time travel.
I knew
Ethan Hawke
time travel, and I knew it was directed by the guys that did Undead like 12 years ago, an Australian, or is it New Zealand? Kiwi zombie movie. And Daybreakers, the vampire movie from like 6 years ago. And it's only their third movie in like 15, 16 years. A pair of brothers, the Spirit Brothers. So that's all I knew. And I was like, Time Cop. I was ready for him to be jumping through time and like looking for bad guys and all this shit. And something completely different.
Completely.
And the least you know going into it, the more weird it is.
Oh, yeah.
And it throws you for a loop. And that's kind of fun. I don't like that.
Definitely.
So,
It's not for the weak minded, though.
Yeah, you gotta be into it. You gotta open up your mind for it.
Well, and you have to be...
You got to be willing to go with it.
Yeah.
So I would recommend people, Redboxing or something like that, checking it out.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's an experience.
If you want to fuck your head up for a couple hours.
It's not like a deep, crazy movie, like deeper, profound, but it's interesting.
No, but it'll make you think, and you'll definitely be talking with your friends about it if you've seen it as well.
Like, you guys see this movie? It's crazy. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Predestination. And then we finally finished, a little behind everyone else, not... not too bingy with these shows, but I felt like this one I wanted to get it done quicker because while people are so it's fresh in their minds and the whole Avengers thing, we finally finished Daredevil.
Yes,
the Netflix series Daredevil. Yes. Drew, obviously being the comic book guy, you know more about the Daredevil and all that stuff. So I would like to know what your impression is after one season, 13 episodes, was it?
Yeah,
13? Unlucky number 13.
I guess I understand why it took so long. The motherfucker doesn't get his goddamn suit to the final episode. And not just that, like, three quarters of the way through the final episode. Yeah, and then finally he's like, oh, look, I'm Daredevil.
He wears it for like three scenes in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that last scene is just the last shot of him. Mm-hmm.
Doing the Superman thing.
He jumps off the building with his two sticks. He's like, yeah! Spoiler alert, jumps off a building with two sticks at the end of the first season.
But, I mean, it stayed fairly true to the Daredevil lore.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't know a lot about Daredevil, but for some reason, one of the things... most of the stuff that I know about Daredevil is about his origin.
Uh-huh.
Because there's Frank Miller, obviously, legendary comic book writer.
Right.
He did... a miniseries called Daredevil, the Man Without Fear, and that's where the whole stick thing comes from. It's basically like Punisher Born or Wolverine Origin. It's
so this series took from that.
Took from a lot of things.
A bunch of things together.
Yeah.
I like that stick character because it was Scott Glenn.
Yes.
It was Scott Glenn as a blind guy.
Blind fucking awesome kick-ass ninja thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he cut off that dude's... did he cut off his head?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he cut off the guy's head.
Totally did with the samurai sword.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah. And then gets to the elevator, he turns around, it's Scott Glenn!
Hey!
And he's blind!
Yeah!
I was like, I was totally down for that.
And it was stick. He totally was, too. He had the same costume and everything. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
But, I mean, I enjoyed it, personally.
D'Onofrio was a good choice.
For Kingpin?
Yeah.
It kind of bugged me in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's doing that whole weird pausey. Batman.
I have to speak with, it's time for the city to understand that it's true Chicago versus the world.
And by the way, Chris, you should tell people about your Daredevil drinking game.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into Drew Chicago versus the world, if you haven't watched Daredevil yet, or if you're going to rewatch it or whatever, sit down with whatever your favorite beverage of choice is. I went with beer because I wasn't trying to piss my pants by the end of the night, from sloppy drunkenness. Take a drink every time someone says either this city.
Or my city.
Or my city. Yeah. Those specifically. If you open it up to all mentions of city, you will be so sloshed.
Yeah.
But every time someone says this city. And
my city.
Beware when Wilson Fisk starts pontificating because he will mention this city two or three times per speech. So... the Daredevil drinking game. We'll come back to Daredevil. I want to talk a little bit more about Vincent D'Onofrio in a second. But here we go. Drew, this year you are 5-1 with the Drew Cockburn versus the world. Mm-hmm. We have coming in the studio this Sunday for episode 123 for the fourth time, Curtis Earth.
Oh, the master of trivia.
The master
himself.
Of trivia. I talked to him on his show, Curtis Earth's show the other day. He pointed out that he is 2-1.
He is.
He's keeping track, Drew.
I have beat him once.
You got to even up. You have to even it up. You have to even it up this Sunday. Yes. He also said to let you know that he is coming for you.
Of course he is. He's Curtis Earth. He's Curtis Earth, and he's playing for the world.
Yes. He's representing the world in trivia. He takes that shit seriously. So I thought I'd come up with a good game, a good mind, a strong mental game here that really makes you try to recall the movies that you know in a deep way to try to beef you up for the Curtis Earth thing, and I think I made a game that might be too hard. So
I was about to say,
if you get like half of these,
kind of difficult.
Yeah, this is kind of. I think it's kind of. We'll see. Because this game is time jumpers, right? Okay. So like based on destination time travel movies. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you the time period that they traveled, the time traveling period. Mm-hmm. You tell me the movie. So if I tell you 1985 to 1955, the answer would be. Back to the Future. Okay, so that's how the game's going to go.
Okay.
All right?
That's going to be rough.
This is going to be rough. So if you get five, I'm going to be like, all right. Number one, 2029 to
So many options.
So many options. You just have to pick one.
Time Cop.
Oh, Oh, the Terminator.
Oh.
The Terminator. Number two, 2074 to 2044.
Looper.
That's correct.
Ooh!
That's correct, Drew.
I was trying to, because it was really, all the time travel just had to do with from when the one guy was a kid to when he was an adult.
Yeah, 30
so
years.
So it couldn't have been too long.
30 years. That's what you think about some of these, all right? Okay. Number three. From 1899 to the year 802,701 AD. That's going forward. From 1899 to 802,701.
Time Machine.
That is correct. The Time Machine. That's both Time Machine movies and the novel.
But see, what an awful movie with Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Except for that one scene with Jeremy Irons. Yeah. He's like, well, time travel is impossible.
Well, and the scene when he starts traveling through time and everything turns to skeletons and then things rise and fall.
Yeah, yeah, the advancement of time.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, good times, good times. Number four, from 2027 to 1990. I'll also say that it also goes from 2027 to 1996 as well. Multiple trips.
Bill and Ted.
Oh, 12 Monkeys.
Ugh.
12 Monkeys. Because the first time you're supposed to go to 96, but I overshot it. Number five, from 2023 to 1973.
I have no
idea. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Okay.
X-Men Days of Future Past. Number six. All right, follow me on this one. From 2688 to 1988. To 1879, to 410 BC, to 15th century London, to 1901, to 1809, to 1209, to 1429, to 1863, back to 1988.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's excellent. That is correct. Number seven, from 2286 to 1986.
I don't know.
Star Trek IV, colon, The Voyage Home. Number eight, from 2004 to 1994.
10 years?
There's also a trip from 2004 to the 1920s, 1929 in the beginning, and then it's from 2004 to 1994. You said it earlier, Time Cop.
Oh!
That's a Time Cop one.
That's a Time Cop one.
Number nine, from 2010 to 1986. Back to 86, popular year for the time travels.
2010.
From 2010 to 1986.
Future Part 2.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh!
And finally, from 1999 to 1969.
No idea.
Austin Powers, colon, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
There was a time travel Austin Powers movie, wasn't there?
Yes, the second
one. I almost
one.
Said it,
he
too.
He had to go get his mojo back. I was trying to emphasize the 69 part of 1969. So you got 1, 2, 3 out of 10. To be honest, you got Looper and Time Machine, and the Bill and Ted one was a bit of a give me. I was hoping.
That was kind of rough.
But hey, Curtis is coming. It's like winter, but it's actually happening.
Yeah, I was about to say, winter's never going to get here.
So in Daredevil, there's a couple of moments where Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin gets all, because he's all bald and fat. He goes like punch crazy, and he's making crazy faces, and he totally looks like what's his name? Sergeant was it Pyle in Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
He totally looks like his character in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Like just deranged and kind of sad.
Yeah. But a lot fatter now.
Just a lot fatter.
And pulling some Street Fighter E Honda moves.
Yeah, he's doing like flying headbutts and shit. Yeah. I liked that every time he had the fight scenes. All his fight scenes were Daredevil good. I like all the fight scenes. I thought all the action was good. It's a pretty cool pretty cool show. I like the way it looks. I like how it looks like Punisher Warzone. It's all neon city streets and stuff.
No. This city's neon. This city. My city. Drink. Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. And mention Hell's Kitchen a lot too. They want to remind you constantly.
Hell's Kitchen.
That they're in Hell's Kitchen. That the hell. We get it, guys. We get it.
It's Hell's Kitchen.
We understand. Coming back for a second season.
Sweet.
Rosario Dawson's coming back as the lady who patches him up at night.
Okay. Nice.
I guess her name is Patches.
Sure.
And it's pretty good. I like it.
Meh. It's fun.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I'll definitely check out the second season when it comes around.
Why not?
You know, the plan is to have that going. That series is going to be going. They're starting up Luke Cage
and
Iron Fist and Jessica Jones.
Who?
Jessica Jones. The show is actually called AKA Jessica Jones. And it's Kristen Ritter is Jessica Jones, daughter of John.
Who?
Kristen Ritter. If you look up Kristen Ritter,
K-R-Y-S-T-E. Not that. I mean, Jessica Jones.
I don't know. What? I don't know. I just know that then these four series are going to come out, at least through one season each, and they're all going to lead up to a team-up, like street-level Avenger style, where then they all become the Defenders.
Sweet.
Some people are talking about maybe that'd be a good time for him to bring back a Punisher. To reintroduce the Punisher character as the villain for the Defenders to try to take down.
Yeah.
You know, so we could see. You know who expressed interest in saying, I want to be the Punisher. I want the Punisher.
Frank Grillo.
No. He's my Punisher. But the guy who wants it is perfectly fine. Would be good for it, too.
Carl Urban.
Tom Hardy.
Ooh.
Tom Hardy's like, I want it.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
I can see Tom Hardy as Frank Castle.
We're going to talk about Tom Hardy and comic book stuff in a minute. Because I got a story related to that. But yeah, I think you'd be good. So Daredevil, good stuff. I'm definitely, as far as the whole MCU thing going on and how all that's connected, it's probably one of my more favorite things. It's like that and, I don't know, Iron Man stuff, I guess.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Guardians is cool, too. Yeah. Like Guardians. Mm-hmm. Giant floating godhead in space that they're reminding. I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah. Gotta mind those giant space god brains.
It's pretty sweet. All right. Time like we do every week for that Billy D Death at the Movies. Billy D, here we go.
So glad you made it.
Oh, yep.
All right,
here we go. Again, shaky fingers.
What's up,
Billy Chris. D? What's up? You say what's up, Chris?
I say what's up, dudes.
Oh, what's up, dudes? All right, I need another beer. Go ahead.
All right. I want to talk briefly about a game. I am in no way associated with this game or its developers. I just love it. Nuclear Throne on PC. It's a retro top-down shooter, and it's insanely addictive and hard. So fucking relentlessly hard. That's out of the way. On to death and things dying at the movies.
Hold on a second. What's this? Video game talk now? Video game talk with Billy D?
Video game plug. Nuclear Throne on PC. Play it, apparently.
On PC?
On the personal computer?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Those things play games, too, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it on the Steam?
Probably. I know Billy has a Steam account.
Nuclear Throne. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. I almost said on that nuclear.
It's
throne.
It's like Game of Thrones, but in the future.
Oh, I like it even more.
Nuclear Thrones.
So it's like, that's another good setting for Fire Knives.
Yes.
Fire Knives can live in the world of Nuclear Thrones, where he's battling dragons and kings for the right to sit on the nuclear throne, which is a giant chair made up of Scud missiles. Choo-choo instead of swords. Scud missiles in all directions. Billy, draw that too. All right, here we go.
All right, this week, my girlfriend decided to rent an Irish horror movie called From the Dark on Amazon.
So the name of the movie is From the Dark on Amazon?
No, that's what I thought. The name of the movie is From the Dark, and they rented it on Amazon.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
All right. I went into this totally blind. She insisted I'd like it, and I did.
Cool.
The film is about a couple, Sarah and Mark, that get lost on a trip through a rural part of Ireland. Unfortunately for them, a local mud farmer has awoken a feral vampire-like creature while harvesting his mud.
So a mud farmer uncovers a vampire.
Yes. The couple's car gets stuck in some presumably less valuable road mud. Mark says some manly things and decides they should separate. He insists that Sarah stay with the disabled car and he will look for a house nearby. There must be one. Look at all this mud. Who would leave it sitting around? And then the movie happens and it's good. It's suspenseful and sticks to the rules it sets for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to call out Mark in this movie because Sarah, played by Niamh Algar, carries him literally for half of it. She kills it in this.
Mm-hmm.
I also love how the vampire is a wild beast. There's nothing sexy about this movie at all. It's a lean little horror flick that's worth a watch. From the Dark will probably get out of the paywall soon and be available on instant streaming. I assume it's in red boxes, but cannot verify. Disclaimer, I would like to say that I know the mud is peat, which is used in making whiskey. Stay cool, Billy D.
From the Dark on Amazon.
From the Dark.
Okay. I like how it's... he picks one that it's a vampire movie, but it's Crazy Beast vampire movie. And then the Netflix pick of the week was a vampire movie.
But
where
it's kind of a sexy 80s vampire movie.
Sexy 80s. Yeah, definitely. So, but not stupid Twilight sexy.
No.
But like a cool kind of sexy.
Yeah. Cool hair and chic kind of sexy.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good times there. All right. Very cool. From the Dark. I have to keep an eye for that one. Mud farming. The perils of mud farming peat.
They're peat farmers.
So they're named Pete? My name's Pete. I'm a mud farmer. I just found this vampire. You want to come see? That's my new character.
No, my name's Pete. I'm a Pete farmer.
My name's Mud. I'm a Pete farmer.
My name's Pete. And you're a Pete farmer.
Your
name is Pete, P-E-T-E, and you farm Pete, P-E-A-T.
Your name is Pete, and I'm Mud. And we're starting our own TV show.
You're not Matthew McConaughey.
And we're starting our own TV show called Pete and Mud's Mud Pete Farming.
You're stupid.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You can email the show cinemacrustmediso@gmail.com. Tweet us @crustmediso. Facebook us up. Facebook us. Book of Faces us @cinemacrustmediso. And we will read it on the show because this is your show. It's the show for the people. I know it's my name in the show, but it's for everyone. So here we go. Drew, what we got over there?
Well, once again, a little bit of synchronicity, Chris. We were talking about Scott Glenn earlier.
Yeah.
JHI87 has a Crespo-Diso Crespo-Dome battle.
Nice. Crespo-Dome battle.
Scott Glenn versus Lance Henriksen.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I just watched Terminator 2 the other day. You know, Lance Henriksen was James Cameron's first choice for the Terminator.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But other people wanted someone more imposing physically.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely Arnold.
And they went to Arnold. Yeah. Launched his career. Yeah. Meanwhile, Lance Henriksen's like, I got Pumpkinhead. That's something. That's a good one. Okay, which one's the better actor, Henriksen or Glenn? Why don't you pull up... Let's do this. Why don't you pull up Scott Glenn's IMDb? I'm going to pull up Lance Henriksen's.
I have both already up.
Oh, okay. Well, then you just go ahead and that's perfect. Let's go through Scott Glenn. When I think of Scott Glenn, first thing I think of is The Right Stuff.
Do you want me to start from the bottom 80s? Or the top?
Let's start most recent work away backwards. I think the most recent popular thing he was in might have been Sucker Punch a couple years ago.
Scott Glenn. Daredevil?
Yeah, obviously. Sticks.
He was in that TV series, The Leftovers.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
He was in The Bourne Legacy.
That's right. He's the one of the Bourne dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Like I said, Sucker Punch. He played the guy.
He was the guy. He was like, go into the courtyard and kill all the bad guys. Yep. Collect the diamond from the dragon, and you'll go on to the next level.
He was in the Bourne Ultimatum.
Well, the Bourne movies. Yeah, he's one of those guys. It's like Joan Allen.
Let's see here, what else? Buffalo Soldiers 2001.
Yeah, right, with Joaquin Phoenix. That's on Netflix and something.
He was in the Virgin Suicides.
Right, where stuff happened. Some of his more badass stuff's in the 80s.
He was in Courage Under Fire.
Courage Under Fire, of course. He was in a Michael Mann movie in like 82, 83 called The Keep, where he's another blind guy with like a blind swordsman type thing going to fight a demon in a Nazi-occupied fortress.
Oh, he was in Backdraft.
That's right, he was in Backdraft. Yep.
and Silence of the Lambs, mm-hmm. and The Hunt for Red October.
Mm-hmm. Again, those are a bunch of movies where he's like the guy in a suit, like giving orders and shit and being all intimidating because he's like, I'm Scott Glenn.
He was the original Creasy and the original Man on Fire. That's in 1987.
Right, he was. Yes. Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Almost feel like I should have led with that and I forgot about it. He is the original Man on Fire.
He is.
That'd be a good battle.
Now I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, dude. It's the same type of crazy.
I know. Now I want to see it. I want to see Scott Glenn doing the Scott Glenn thing. He was in Silverado.
Yep. With fucking Danny Glover and Kevin Costner and so many people.
The Right Stuff.
I forgot. Who was he in The Right Stuff? He's not... Ed Harris is John Glenn.
Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard. That's right. The Right Stuff is like one of the best fucking like epic like movies about like badass men, badass people ever. Mm-hmm. The whole birth of the space program and shit. Even Sam Shepard at the beginning being a badass fighter pilot, test pilot and all that stuff, trying to break the sound barrier. Oh, the movie's so good. Every now and then it's on the Netflix instant. Whenever it is, I try to watch it.
He was in Apocalypse Now.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So he's been in a lot of great stuff, and he's been good in them. Now
and then a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
TV stuff.
Yeah, because he broke in like the early 80s, late 70s. Let's switch over to Lance Henriksen, who when I think of him, like I said, I think right away I think Terminator, I think Pumpkinhead. Kind of serious about that. He's actually pretty awesome in Pumpkinhead, and the effects in that are Stan Winston effects, which are pretty cool. I'm sure Billy has plenty to say about Pumpkinhead.
He was in
tweet him at I Love Blood. He'll tell you all about Pumpkinhead all night long.
He was in The Strain, the TV series, apparently.
Was he?
He played Night Zero. No, he was the narrator.
Okay, yeah, he's got a great voice. Okay, sure.
He was in the Hannibal TV series, apparently.
Was he? Maybe in the most recent season? Did we not watch the last week? Because I stopped watching it. First season was the only good one.
Oh, he was in the Mass Effect 3 video game.
For his voice. Guy's got a great voice. He's got that gravelly type voice thing going on. Do you remember when he was the lead on that show, Millennium?
A lot of really, really, really bad movies, by the way. I'm going through a lot of awful movies.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, they need to eat. They need to get paid, you know, especially guys like this where they get their leading movies like back in the 80s and then Hollywood moves on and gives other people work and they still want to keep working, so they have to take a lot of smaller things. Do you remember that show Millennium in the 80s?
Yes.
They did a couple seasons of that? The Chris
that
Carter 90s, show?
I think.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I meant the 90s. I'm sorry. I remember really liking the first season of that one. Second season was like, I don't remember anything after that, though.
Yeah, he was in Pumpkinhead Blood Feud, Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes.
Yeah. The first one's really going worth watching, I think. But then again, you want to talk Pumpkinhead, I Love Blood on Twitter. Billy D, he'll tell you what's up. You're not giving you nothing there. Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, I'm talking like Unspeakable, Demons on Canvas.
Okay, yeah, okay.
He was Scream 3.
Right.
The Millennium TV series from 96 to 99.
Uh-huh. 75 years old he is. He was in,
Quick and the Dead.
Remember, he's the android in Bishop. He plays Bishop in Aliens.
Yeah, and Aliens vs. Predator.
I forgot about the Quick and the Dead. Alien vs. Predator, he played... Yeah, that was bullshit. Yeah. He was also in Alien 3, obviously, too, at the end there.
He was the king in Super Mario Brothers.
Was he?
In 1993, yeah.
Do not remember that.
He was in Alien 3. Tales from the Crypt, he did a couple...
Oh, what, like the TV show?
Yeah.
That was a fun show.
Pumpkinhead, Survival Quest, Aliens, Terminator.
Right. Oh, you know, he was the...
He was in The Right Stuff as well?
He was the main bad guy in Hard Target. John Woo's Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yeah, he was.
That's right, yeah.
He was in The Right Stuff as well?
The Right Stuff. That's right, he is in The Right Stuff. The Right Stuff is so good.
Damien, The Omen 2.
Guys, come on.
Dog Day Afternoon.
He's in Dog Day Afternoon.
He plays Murphy.
Why can't I
remember? 1975.
Why can't I remember that? I've seen the movie a bunch of times. I need to rewatch it.
That's really...
I guess he just blends in. He's still going to blend in at some points. based on filmographies, I'm going Scott Glenn. Going Scott Glenn. And then based on him being a stick.
I was about to say, based on Daredevil, I go Scott Glenn again.
Yeah, Scott Glenn is just such a badass. He's great. No offense, Lance Henriksen. Guy's got a great voice. But Scott Glenn is awesome. Great guy. Personally, I know him. He helped me change a tire once. Good dude. Good dude, that's Scott Glenn. All right, thanks, J-High87. Jared, appreciate it, dude, for the Crespodome battle. If you have a Crespodome battle, you want us to talk about, put two actors, actresses, whatever, together, head-to-head, send them to us, and we'll do it. Here we go. What's next?
Coming in, Rage Against Twit.
What's up?
Hello. Watch the first episode of this Netflix, Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie, I heard about it. Okay.
It's funny. Sam Watterson and Martin Sheen are lovers.
Oh, yeah.
And go.
I know you'd watch that just for Sam Watterson.
I love me some Sam Watterson.
Just Sam Watterson. And Martin Sheen's good, too.
He's saying it's Sam Watterson, but it's Sam Watterson.
It's Watterson. Easy mistake.
It is.
And then what it is it's from the creator of Friends.
Okay.
Who's trying to do like the update on the modern sitcom as opposed to Friends style.
Yeah.
More like what sitcoms are now.
Two old gay men
who they left their wives to be together. Oh, okay. Their wives are played by Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Hey, Mr. Watterson and Ms. Fonda were in Newsroom together.
Look at this. It's all coming together. It's all meant to be.
Wait a minute. The Newsroom and Martin Sheen was the president in The West Wing.
Uh-huh.
That was written by
Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
Aaron Sorkin,
who also wrote The Newsroom. Mm-hmm. So now
it all comes together. It's all coming together. And once you bring Dolly Parton in there with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, we got a 9-to-5 reunion. We're all good to go.
Yeah.
The universe is one again. The universe is complete. It's what we've been waiting for. It's the moment.
Yeah.
It's the moment where it all shatters. It shakes. The universe shakes so fast that it erupts into billions of pieces. I'll probably check it out. You know, for comics, it's Watterson and then Sheen.
I love me some Sammy Watts.
Are they going to make them kiss? I don't want to see old men kiss. And that's not a homophobic thing. I just don't want to see old men kiss.
No, that's it.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to watch old ladies kiss either.
True.
No.
True that. Old people should just be locked away in dark places and kept out of the way. Grandma, I love you. She's not listening to this show. She's not listening. Happy Mother's Day to all the old ladies.
Also from Rage Against Twitter, I guess a mini review of this movie on Netflix called Anita.
It's
an eye-opening documentary on the subjugation of women. I was born in 1987, according to Richard Twitter.
Just want to let you know, give you context, because it's he doesn't know the story of Anita Hill, who she testified against Clarence Thomas and I think sued for sexual harassment.
Yep.
The whole thing where he was getting ready to be nominated for Chief Justice, for Supreme Court Justice. Not Chief Justice, Supreme Court Justice. And apparently he's a goddamn sexual deviant.
Yeah.
And
most of them are.
Yeah, obviously most of these old people with the power are. And it all boiled down to the image that everyone remembers, or the thing that everyone remembers the most is how, for some reason, he put a pube on like his can of Diet Coke or something like that. And I was like, what's up with his pube in my Coke? Like, to try to get, because she was, I don't know, creepy. Creepy dude. And then, of course, he becomes the Chief Justice, and he's all like, you know, gays don't need their rights, and, you know, abortion should be, you know, women don't need the choice. No, they don't deserve the right to choose.
Hey, speaking of, what do you think about Florida's reflection period?
The reflection period? What?
You didn't hear about that?
No.
State of Florida passed, if you want to go and get an abortion.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. They make you wait 24 hours or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
You have to go, make your appointment, wait 24 hours before you go. And
fortunately, in Florida, that's not going to be a big issue, because I think there's still enough clinics around everywhere where if they make you wait 24 hours, you just go home and you go back to the clinic. In other states, that's a problem where there's only like one operating clinic in the entire state and you live several hours away.
Yeah.
Then they make you want to come back the next day. No, you drove here 3 hours and you got to drive home 3 hours, drive back, you know.
Here, drive the 3 hours, stay in a hotel.
Yeah. Another way to restrict women's rights. It's a bunch of bullshit. We're going to talk about that in a second, a little bit more.
God damn.
We will. I got something relating just to that. Very interesting how that comes up.
All right, from @JoeyUCF on Twitter.
What's up, Joey? Always supporting the show. We appreciate the guy. Oh, if actually Joey_UCF, Joey DeSturco, if he's listening to the show right now, that means it's Tuesday.
All right.
Tuesday is Cinema Crust Pizza Day. on the podcast rotation. We all got our podcast rotations.
We do.
I know someone else. I think Olga listens on Fridays when she runs. So if Olga's listening, it's Friday. Yeah. Happy Friday, Olga.
Just saw the Jurassic World trailer before Avengers. Am I the only one who thinks it gave too much away?
No, they always give, especially the bigger the movie, the more money in the movie, they're going to give away as much as possible in the trailers because they're trying to get everyone in.
Trying to entice you.
Yeah, so they're like, yeah, they're going to show you the dinosaurs are communicating, and Vincent D'Onofrio's like, we're going to do it my way, and then shooting the helicopter, and then it crashes, and then it gets out, and we see all the batshit going down. Yeah, it definitely gives away too much. You know, sometimes they do well in showing you just the right amount of stuff, and sometimes they just fucking they ruin it. But I agree. I agree. They show too much, and I kind of wish they don't get a sequel. I knew a dude who, he'd go to the movie theater. If a trailer came up for a specific movie that he wanted to go into it, like, not knowing much, for the whole 2+ minutes of the trailer, he will, like, put his hands over his ears and, like, close his eyes and, like, try to as much to block out the sense of the trailer as much as possible every time. To the point where he looked like a crazy man.
Sweet. I like it.
Yeah. So, hey, respect for the dedication to go so far to do such a thing. I respect that. I won't do it, but I respect it.
Sweet. From Tom Lucas on Facebook.
What's up, Tom?
Age of Ultron, good movie or CGI fuckfest?
I thought it was a good movie. It's also CGI crazy.
Yes.
You know, the crazy shit they do in a movie. Turn a whole city into a meteor that we're going to turn upside down and all the robots everywhere.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a good movie. I would say it's an above average CGI fuckfest.
Above average CGI fuckfest?
Yeah, but it's definitely a CGI fuckfest.
Okay, there you go.
And also from Tom.
Oh, okay, doubling it up. That's cool.
Maggie/Ex Machina. Why haven't I gone to see these excellent movies when I'll pay for CGI crap all day?
Well, the CGI crap is readily available. Maggie, I doubt, is playing. I'm pretty sure Tom's in South Florida still. It may be playing in one theater, like in Fort Lauderdale or Miami.
Ex Machina expanded.
Ex Machina expanded to 2,000 screens. So, and it went up about 20% in box office take from week to week. Obviously, they're waiting for Avengers to cool off just a little bit. It snuck in there between Avengers and Mad Max, made a little bit of extra dough. That's from A24 Productions. Mm-hmm. It is. This weekend, as of this weekend, it should be their highest grossing film that they release, surpassing Spring Breakers. So congratulations to them. They're a great production company, great studio. They distribute really interesting like indie stuff, and Ex Machina is definitely worth checking out. Also, check out our spoiler episode, Ex Machina, from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So as to why you haven't seen him, Tom...
Good question. Go see him.
Go see him. But, you know, Tom's one of the good guys. He's the one that he cares about the art that he takes in, and, you know. Really appreciate that.
Nice.
That's all we did. We did Billy D's with emails and tweets. We're doing it this week. We're doing This Week in Sexism / Chris Reed's Shit Off the Internet. And where's the theme song? Here we go. Okay. We have over here a new, relatively new site getting a lot of traction. I actually wanted to read it in last week's show when Big Mike was here.
Uh-huh.
But that show ended up going long anyway. It was almost a 2-hour. I'm sorry. Am I boring?
Yes, you are.
Well, maybe this will interest you a little bit. There's a Tumblr site out there called shitpeoplesaytowomendirectors.tumblr.com.
Okay.
So that's the whole blog. Shit People Say to Women Directors and Other Women in Film. And it's a place where people can anonymously, if they choose, and a lot of them have to be anonymous because they're trying to keep working in this goddamn supposedly liberal industry that, you know... So many, like, Fox News, like, liberal Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, they're, like, as sexist and racist as it gets in Hollywood. You know, it's the opposite
of
the image that they project, which is probably more disingenuous than what they do at Fox News, where they're openly racist and bigoted. At least they own it. They own up to it. But women have a super hard time there. There's a lot of recent studies out, I mean, very recent, within the last couple of months, about how few women there are in the industry, how extremely few are actual directors that get to the keys of the kingdom, and it's a bunch of bullshit. It really is. Just because they have the lady parts, all of a sudden they can't fucking boss people around and have an artistic vision that they can see through.
Meanwhile, as you said, the majority of the workers are male, and some guys have a very large problem with doing what women tell them to do,
or even trying to deal with women on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Because I
don't
know.
Chris, are you on your period? Is that what's going on? Is that why you're freaking out? Because you're on your period? Is it that time of the month for you?
There you go. It's exactly shit like that, right? So here are a bunch of things that people, I'm going to read just, you know, randomly from the top down. And you can see the kind of horror show that these women have to deal with just because they just want to work in an industry that they love. We offer them places, but they won't leave their boyfriends on the East Coast to come out to L.A. The head of my top L.A. film school, when I challenged him on why there weren't more women directors on the MFA program.
Hmm.
I don't like hiring female production assistants. I feel bad asking them to stay late. Art director on a Stephen King miniseries. And then most of these little quotes, then they throw in a cute little gif. One of the moving gifs. Sweet. You know, to make you feel a little better about the horrible shit that's going on. Let's see. Some of these are kind of long.
Well, you should have pre-screened them, Mr. Crespo.
You know what, Drew? You are right. So you're not married and you don't have kids? That's great. You can travel for work. A Hollywood agent when I was meeting with different agents looking for new representation. Why don't you change into a more revealing dress before going so you can get the filters with a discount? Said to me by my teacher when I was producing a student short film. I was 17 years old.
Wow.
You have to twist it like it was the nipple of a 7-year-old girl. My teacher at film school explained to us how softly we should treat the tripod's locks.
Whoa.
You can't have a female protagonist. Rewrite your concept with a male lead. Said to me by my film professor who, ironically enough, wrote a screenplay for a lifetime.
Nice.
I like what you're wearing. Directors got back for my producer on a children's television show.
Ha!
The worst thing we did in the 70s was give women the idea that they can have careers and babies at the same time. My much older editor to me, not long after I started working for him. Sensing a pattern here, Jerry?
Well, I mean, it sounds like most of the people in power in Hollywood come from a different time period.
Yeah, not even just people in power, but people in all aspects. We're talking film professors, we're talking grips, PAs, production assistants, directors, producers, etc., actors. Yeah. It's weird, though. You don't really write like a chick, you know. MFA grad filmmaker, to me, his classmate, after reading my script. Because chicks write how again?
Well, apparently they use more sappy shit.
They write sappy shit. They put hearts over all their eyes. Yes. Right? That's how chicks write.
And very bubbly letters.
Yeah, bubble letters. Bubble exactly. Letters. You're going to have to let me know when you have your period so I know when to expect your work quality to be an issue. My supervisor, I had just started my first film job out of college. Wow. So you were joking earlier, Drew. But
yeah, 100%.
They were straight up about that shit. And I am really skipping over some that are like a paragraph long.
And probably just awful.
Just horror stories of the way people act. So it's a bunch of bullshit. And there should be more outrage about these type of double standards in the workplace. I mean, you think it's bad enough for women. I mean, women make 77 cents to the dollar, your average woman. Mm-hmm. If you make that, knock that back to a black woman, she's making 67 cents to the dollar. You know, and it goes on down the line, the racism and the bigotry and the sexism and the whole world's just falling apart. I don't even know what we're trying.
It always has been, Chris.
Yeah, but it's like, there's too much information out there, too much access to information now for people to be so ignorant. The ignorance is understood 1,000 years ago when you didn't know shit about no one. Now, thanks to the internet and television and movies.
A thousand years ago, people in America didn't even know China existed.
Right, right. They didn't know what was going on over there. It was a mystical land of dragons.
They didn't even know what it was.
So now we all know that all around the world, no matter what you look like, what you do, your fucking horrible situation, your good situation, no matter what, we're all goddamn just people just trying to live our lives, you know, hopes and dreams, et cetera, et cetera.
Unless you have some extra fat around your upper section and a hole in between your legs.
Yeah,
in
which case you're some sort of lesser human. You're a subhuman. No. In which case you have to walk 10 feet behind. You're better. You shouldn't be allowed to talk to other people or other people of other sexes, and you shouldn't have certain jobs. Yeah, it's a bunch of. It's still the world. It's 2015, and that's the shit that we have to put up with on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, the study that came out recently said that there were more female directors working in the 80s than there are now. So they've stepped backwards. Yeah, they stepped backwards in Hollywood. So get your shit together, Hollywood. We're calling you the fuck out on that one. All right. Got some movie news here. Got some interesting stuff about all the men making all those movies about men in Hollywood.
Sweet.
Avengers. Big deal, obviously. Making all the money. Yeah. Everyone's freaking out about
all
it.
All the monies.
So Marvel and Disney used the week with all the momentum to announce all the details for Captain America : Civil War.
Okay.
Which is turning out to be pretty much Avengers 2.5, Avengers 3, essentially. Here's the cast. Obviously, it's Captain America versus Iron Man.
Yes.
So you got Chris Evans and Tony, Johnny Depp. Not Johnny
Robert
Depp.
Downey
Robert Downey Jr. coming back. Also joining that cast, Scarlett Johansson back as Black Widow. Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, so he didn't retire.
Okay.
Anthony Mackie back as Falcon.
No.
Don Cheadle, War Machine. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Olsen, Scarlet Witch. Yep. Paul Bettany as Vision.
Okay, so everybody's back.
Your new Avengers, right? No mention of Thor and Hulk.
No.
So those guys aren't coming back. Frank Grillo, Crossbones. Coming back.
Okay, I can see Carlos Crossbones.
That was a character he was in Captain America Winter Soldier, but he wasn't Crossbones yet. No. Right, that was like before. Did he like fuck his face up or something at the end? Something like that. Nice, I swear, a mask probably. Yeah, sure. And Sebastian Stan is coming back as Bucky Barnes / Winter Soldier.
Nice.
A lot of fucking characters. Yeah. This movie's also going to introduce Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther.
Okay.
To set up the Black Panther movie. Daniel Bruhl. Name sound familiar?
No.
Let's remember this name, Drew. Daniel Bruhl, Bruhl, German fella, the dude from Inglourious Basterds and Rush. The movie with when he erased Thor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The guy erased Thor.
Got that guy.
He is Baron Zemo.
Okay, I can see that.
So we're setting him up to be the villain for Doctor Strange,
uh-huh.
which comes out 2016, I think. And Martin Freeman, you know, from like Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
He's been cast, but they didn't say the name of the character. So you might be like just random human character who's probably like part of the bad guys. Or maybe he's a senator or something because it's all political stuff, right? They all have to like sign up for... You know. Not done, Drew.
Okay.
Not done because you know who else is going to be in this movie? Mm. Fucking Ant-Man.
Okay.
Paul Rudd is confirmed to be in Captain America Civil War. You know who else is going to be in this fucking movie? Mm. This one you wouldn't guess in a million goddamn years. Huh. William Hurt coming back as... Thunderbolt Ross from The Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's your cast for this gigantic fucking movie that is apparently going to be even bigger than Avengers Age of Ultron.
Chris, if you think that's crazy, wait until we get to the Infinity Wars.
Drew, I have Infinity Wars news for you.
Just wait.
Talking about big?
Yeah.
Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2, which... They just started filming Civil War now. When they're done with that, they're going right into a 9-month-long shoot for Infinity War.
Yeah.
Chris Evans is going to be part of all that. If he wasn't going to be such a goddamn rich millionaire off of this shit, I would feel bad for him. Like, that's so much work as Captain America.
But once he's done being Captain America, he never has to work again.
No, he'll never have to do anything he doesn't want to do. He won't have to do commercials. He won't have to do movies he doesn't want to do. He wants to be a director.
He can do it.
He can start funding his own movies. He'll be good to go. Speaking of Avengers, talking about how big that movie is going to fucking be, because they're ramping up to that. Avengers will be the first movie to be shot.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity War is what they're calling it.
I know.
It's interesting that it's Captain America Civil War and then Avengers Infinity War. Like, how many wars? Anyway. It's going to be 100% from start to finish shot in IMAX.
Sweet.
The first movie to be done all 100% in IMAX. First fictional film, narrative film, I should say. But they're using brand new IMAX digital cameras. So it's like, I don't know. IMAX is all about the 70mm film. Apparently, it got some sort of digital camera that's going to try to replicate that on the... In that aspect ratio, that super big aspect ratio for the giant screen. I don't know, we'll see. I would go and see that in a heartbeat on an IMAX screen if it wasn't for the fact that it's probably going to be in 3D as well.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I don't want to see that shit in 3D. I can't stand that 3D stuff. Also confirmed for Infinity War, not only will it be directed by the Russo brothers, who did Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War coming up, it's also written by the guys, different set of people who wrote Captain America, Winter Soldier, and the upcoming Civil War. So it's like Joss Whedon's team has been swapped out with the Russo's team, but it's all Team Marvel anyway.
Yeah.
And keeping it on the comic book tip, we got a short list of directors for Spider-Man.
Okay.
Trying to do the whole new Spider-Man thing, right? Yep. Where it's not necessarily going to be an origin story, but Peter Parker is going to be a younger dude back in high school. They're going to focus on him being a high school kid again, right? And he's probably not going to be in Civil War because they really couldn't work it out.
Yeah.
They're still trying to cast the guy. Meanwhile, shortlist. for directors, okay? I'm just gonna instead of giving you the names, I'm gonna give you the movies that they did in the past, and then you can try to imagine the Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
So, for example, if I told you one of the guys that they're considering for the direct Spider-Man is the guy who did Nacho Libre and Napoleon Dynamite.
What? That's gonna be a weird Spider-Man.
Imagine
movie.
That giant budget Spider-Man. Yeah. I would almost say John Heder as Spider-Man, except he's too old now. Maybe 15 years ago, he could have been dorky Spider-Man. How about the guy who did, you saw it, the first Pitch Perfect?
What?
Right? That's the, think of the tone
I
that
know,
they're going for.
I know.
Well, this is telling you what the direction that they're going in. These are the directors they're looking at. They're also looking at this fella, Ted Melfi, who did that Bill Murray movie, St. Vincent. A lot of work with a kid in that one. Right? They're thinking about giving it to the guy who did The Wackness and 50-50. Who is a kid, Jonathan Levine. I think that guy's still in his 20s. Yep.
Nice. They're going for the younger crowd with the Spider-Mans.
And then the other names, yeah, are these two guys, John Francis Daly and Jonathan M. Goldstein, who did the upcoming Vacation reboot, remake type thing.
Okay.
Have you seen... That leads me to this. So any of those guys can make Spider-Man. If you could pick one, who would you pick of that group?
None.
But if you had to pick over that group...
I would rather not have a Spider-Man movie be made.
I wouldn't mind seeing one from the 50-50 Wackness guy, Jonathan Levine. I wouldn't mind at all. The trailer. There's a Red Band trailer online for the new Vacation movie.
Okay.
Which is called Vacation, like the original. It's not National Lampoon's Vacation, but it's still called Vacation, where Ed Helms is Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, God help me.
Really?
It looks funny.
Does it?
It looks funny. It looks good. Like... I would recommend people checking out the trailer, the Red Band trailer. Tell me what you think. But I think it made me laugh a few times. It's like, I want to see this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. You know, the cynical side of me is like, I don't want to see this bullshit.
No, I don't. I'm not interested at all.
But the trailer is like, I'm going to go see this bullshit.
Hmm.
I'm going.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? I think Universal, they're the ones behind it. They obviously have faith in it because the movie wasn't supposed to come out to like September, October, one of those kind of dead months. They push it up to the summer.
Oh, wow.
So
they think it's going to do well.
They have faith in it. They think it's good enough to do that. So we'll be seeing it soon. I mentioned this earlier. I'm telling you, all the things we talked about earlier, that's all coming back around. Tom Hardy, he wants to be the Punisher.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be the Punisher, but that's Marvel. Meanwhile, he was almost in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
He had to drop out of that because he was doing this movie, The Revenant, with Leonardo DiCaprio and Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, the guy who did Birdman.
Yeah.
They're doing this epic movie that because of weather, they have to postpone big parts of the shoot by like entire seasons.
Yeah.
So they started shooting this movie like in the fall of last year and won't be done till like the spring of next year or some bullshit like that. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Something insane like that. But so because of that, he had to drop out of Suicide Squad, but he still wants to do some sort of action. Like he's been trying to do the Splinter Cell movie.
Yeah.
He told someone like, I want to jump out of helicopters, man. Like this is what I want to do. He wants to get into it. He mentioned in an interview for Mad Max coming out, you know, scratching that action itch. He dropped some interesting nuggets here. This is with Collider. He said, quote, I actually got something cooking with Warner Brothers, DC again, which is also a comic book. It's a DC thing, which is it's really good, actually. It contains elements of all kinds of stuff. See, how much you know DC? You're a Marvel guy, right?
DC's Vertigo.
Vertigo. So do you know that stuff?
Everything I'm reading now.
Okay, well then listen to this description of the influences he's pulling together. So then hopefully you can help us figure out what the fuck he's talking about. Okay, here we go. It contains elements of all this stuff. Ocean's 11. It's a Batman. You can get all the rappers on. It'll be really big and cool. Technicolor. Pulp Fiction. It's a psychological fuckfest. It's absolutely awesome. It's as if you would take Transmetropolitan and make it happen. But it's not that out there. It's something which is much more real world. It could be like Heat. It could be fucking awesome. Let me tell you what it is. Try and guess. And he tells the interviewer to try and guess. The guy's like, I got no guess. He's like, I got no guesses. But then he says, you referenced it as a movie. And Tom Hardy stops him. And Tom Hardy says, it's not even a movie. It's real estate. It's prime real estate, which is sitting there right under everybody's nose that no one's really thought about it yet. And it goes TV and movie. It's awesome. I can't believe that nobody has even... I know they thought of it, but no one has actually blown life into it yet. what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, he was talking, I was thinking Transmetropolitan, and then he said, it's kind of like Transmetropolitan, yes. I'm like, you motherfucker, damn it.
Yes, which is interesting that he used that as a reference point.
Yeah.
We all know Tom Hardy's in the Transmetropolitan. As if the guy couldn't get any cooler.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, when it's a comic book about a future Hunter S. Thompson, how can you not
want
to read it?
Right. So what could it be, Drew? No ideas whatsoever, nothing obscure, but popular enough, because he's talking about how it's like, it's obvious.
And there are so many options.
What are they? What are some of the options?
Like they would have to rewrite it, but no.
No, what?
I don't know. I don't know, Chris.
Well,
I don't know.
Totally stumped, though.
Don't know.
Well, hopefully we'll be finding out. Soon what this could possibly be. Tom Hardy seems extremely excited about it. Psychological fuckfest is what he called it. And prime real estate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's crazy enough to do DMZ.
Well, him, Warner Brothers. Is Warner Brothers crazy enough to do something?
They'd have to shut down New York City for years.
CG. CG, buddy.
But I mean,
I am legend.
I have no idea what it could be. It's not.
If you're listening, you have an idea. Tweet Drew at antihero419 and let him know.
No idea what it could be.
Then maybe you can brainstorm it together. All right, I got two more things here, Drew. I got a movie that's getting a sequel and then a movie sequel that stopped happening. Which one do you want to hear about first?
Let's go with the sequel that's not happening.
The sequel that's not happening. For years, they've been trying to do Beverly Hills Cop 4, Drew.
Okay.
And they actually came pretty close recently. And thank God this one got pulled. It got pulled from 2016 release, according to Variety. It was a version of Beverly Hills Cop that was going to be directed by Brett Ratner from a screenplay by the guys behind Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the most recent one. So that would have been a horrible piece of shit. But now it's not getting made. They almost made a TV show, Beverly Hills Cop TV show, in which in the pilot, it would have been revealed that Axel Foley, almost called him Alex Foley, Axel Foley is the new captain, mm-hmm. right? And then his son is the cop that I guess has to go to California, Beverly Hills. Mm. So that's not happening. But fortunately, Drew, you know what is happening?
What?
Thank God that we're getting it. We couldn't get the Dread sequel.
No.
You know, we couldn't get... There's a lot of things out there that we want to get that we can't get. But you know what we are getting?
What?
The Three Stooges 2.
What?
I knew that was going to be your exact reaction. I should have wrote that down. I knew as soon as I said Three Stooges 2, you were going to go... Because I don't know why. I don't know why, because it's not even like it made that much money. The Farrelly brothers spent a decade trying to get that movie made and made it, and it's horrible. Another production company came in. I guess they got... Well, it's not even like... You don't even need the rights because a lot of Three Stooges stuff is public domain. So another company's coming in and they're using the same actors, but they got different writers and they're looking for new directors and they're making what they claim to be an action comedy. Three Stooges action comedy. So...
That sounds awful.
So there you go. Drew. We can't get Dread 2. But we will get Three Stooges 2. You know what would make it all better?
What?
If they turned I Am Fire Knives into a trilogy. That then broke off into a TV show. An HBO series.
And a video game franchise.
And a video game franchise. A prequel on how you became Fire Knives. How the lead guy becomes Fire Knives, right?
He's really Flint Steel, Chris.
Flint Steel the whole time. We can't let people know about Flint Steel. We have to hold that one back. We have to hold that one back for ourselves. We can't give them everything. We'll give the people Fire Knives.
And then people are already taking our Flint Steel, bits and pieces of it, its idea. It's already been disseminated.
The unconscious pool of influence that's out there.
Yes.
That's why we got to act quick on Fire Knives before someone else takes it. Fire Knives is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
He's going to do a... Fire Knives is totally going to be doing the daredevil jumps.
Then he brings up. Okay, that's the end of the show. Thank you, Drew Sir Cogburn.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thanks to Billy D. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much, guys. We'll be back with episode 123 with Curtis Earth. And I guess this week we're going to do a Crespo Disco. We'll do Crespo Disco, five favorites or five of our favorite movie scores, soundtracks. Keep it movie related.
Okay, sure.
All right, so we'll do that on Wednesday. Look forward to that one. And then episode 123 next weekend. And remember, people, to support those R-rated movies because they need your help, like Mad Max. And CGI fuckfestery abounds. Peace out. Yeah. Unique New York. Unique New York.
Manageable vegetable.
Manageable vegetable. Mind your P's and Q's.
Irish wristwatch.
Irish
wristwatch. Irish wristwatch.
What was the other one from before? From last week? It was like Irish wristwatch.
It was. I forget what it was.
Just saying. Rish. Wrist.
Rish wrist.
Rish wrist.
Rish wrist.
If you get that down, Rish wrist. Irish wristwatch.
I wrist rich. Wrist rich.
The wrist switch.
Wrist rich.
The what's on the wrist switch? Definitely mayonnaise. That's the condiment for the wrist switch.
The wrist switch?
Yeah, what is the wrist switch? I'm going to go into that sandwiches. One of them is going to be the wrist switch, which is going to be...
The wrist wish? The wrist witch?
Wishbone Italian dressing marinade.
And sliced Crespo wrist.
Ooh.
Thinly sliced.
Ooh.
And cured.
Ooh.
There's only a limited supply, though.
Very limited. I only have two wrists.
Then we start getting to forearm. The forearm's just not as good. It's tough.
That all gets ground up into a hot dog.
Crespo dog. Along with your lips and asshole, Chris.
Ew. A little gross, dude.
Crespo dog.
That's disgusting. You're disgusting.